John chapter number 21, or chapter number 20, I'm sorry. Let's start in verse number 24. The Bible said, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, with your people, Lord, with your word this evening. And Lord, we have the combination, Lord, of a blessing in front of us. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us tonight. Lord, I don't know hearts. Lord, you do. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would take your precious word and Lord, apply it to lives tonight. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that people would be helped. Lord, I need you to help me to preach tonight, Lord. Father, I need you as much tonight as the first time I ever got up and preached. And I pray, God, that you'd give me the words, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was praying about what God would have me to preach. And the Lord gives a message to a preacher in different ways. I was talking to my boss at work, and he was asking me, how does that work out? But I was praying this week, and Thomas just popped in my mind. And so I started studying about him, and I came across a quote, I think it was from Dr. Tom Malone, and he said that the characters in the Bible are robed in the doctrines of God. They're not in there by accident. God's put them there for a reason and to teach us from the testimonies of their life. And so I started studying, and when I started studying about Thomas, I started seeing myself. Thomas was a pessimist. Thomas was a cup half empty kind of guy. And as much as I hate to admit it, I'm like Thomas in that respect. And when you start studying Thomas, I mean, for everything that he said up until this point in John chapter number 20, it was pretty pessimistic. I'll give you an example. In John chapter number 11, they got word that Lazarus had died, and Jesus told the disciples, and he said, we've got to go to Bethany. And Thomas, he said there in John chapter number 11, in verse 16, he said, let us go that we may die with him. I mean, you talk about pouring some cold water on the time and the place and the people. Thomas was just that kind of guy. And the more I started studying, I started getting a little bit of a sense of shame, because you think about this, Thomas acquired a title all the way back then that he's still carrying today. And I don't want to carry that kind of title. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 10, it says, not prolonging, that means keeping back, but showing all good fidelity, that means conviction, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That word adorn, it comes from the Greek word cosmeo. And that's where we get our English word cosmetic. What the Bible's saying here is that we're to take God's Word and the teaching and the doctrine of God's Word and to apply it in our lives in such a way that it's appealing to people and not appalling. That people would see Christ in us and that they would desire to have something that they don't have. But the more I started studying, I started seeing similarities in other disciples. Thomas wasn't the only one that doubted. They all doubted. Mary Magdalene, when she went there to find Jesus, and the angel spoke to her and said, "He's not there." And she didn't understand what was going on. And she turned around and saw Jesus and thought he was the gardener. I can't get a hold. I don't understand that all the way. But just to think that she was so consumed with her situation, she didn't even recognize the presence of the Lord. And Thomas wasn't like the Emmaus disciples. They were leaving Jerusalem. They were heading out of town. They were getting out of there. And Jesus, in His grace and His mercy, came up behind them when they were doubting and they were confused. And He spoke to them. And they turned back and told the others. And they were in the upper room. They were fearful. They had the door locked tight. And in Mark's gospel, when Jesus came in, it was almost like He rebuked them for their doubt. And Thomas, and it wasn't just them, John the Baptist doubted. The Apostle Paul doubted. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:8, it says, Paul was speaking about this trouble in Asia, and he said that we're pressed out of measure above all strength, insomuch we despaired even of life. But we had the sense of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises from the dead. See, when Thomas said that in John chapter number 11, that we might as well go and die too, we don't think about John chapter number 10 when the religious leaders were about to stone him and they escaped out of there. I mean, Thomas had a pretty good reason. I'm not saying that he was right, but I'm just trying to clarify the fact that we all doubt. All of us at some point in time have doubted. And I dare not say that there'll be a time in the future. We'll get victory in a certain place, and we'll start leaning upon the Lord, but then a whole different situation comes in at a whole different level, and we've got to learn to lean all over again. And as I was studying, I saw the Savior. And I want you to notice in verse number 26, I read this and I thought, man, I think this is what Rhiannon was singing this morning. That's verse number 25. No, verse number 26. And it says, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. And here it is. Then came Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm glad tonight that my Savior doesn't operate according to what I do and what I think and what I feel. But He operates according to who He is. I'm thankful that He knows my frame. He knows that I'm made of dust, less than dirt. And I'm thankful that even when I falter, that He'll still come. Why? Because He's faithful. He's faithful. He's never let me down. There's times that I wondered, where's Jesus? When's He going to get here? How's it going to happen? And doubt fills my mind and heart. But there's not been one time, Brother Dale, that He didn't show up right on time and come to where I was when I couldn't feel like I could get to Him. Pastor's been preaching on doctrine. And so here's the message tonight. Thomas called Didymus's doctrine on doubt. I don't think you're going to preach on that doctrine. So let's see what Thomas' doctrine is on doubt tonight. Number one, I want us to look at the position of Thomas. If we were to ask Thomas, where did you start to go wrong? I believe he would have started and shown us with his position there in verse number 24. Because the Bible says, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The Bible says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Words and phrases and texts aren't in there just to fill up spaces. The Holy Spirit made it a point to point out the fact that Thomas missed that first Sunday night service after the resurrection. They were there, but Thomas wasn't. And I don't know what Thomas was doing. I'm not going to beat up on Thomas. But I want to say this, Thomas wasn't where he was supposed to be. And I believe if we asked Thomas, he would tell us this truth. That I unnecessarily carried an unnecessary load for at least 8 more days than I should have because I wasn't where I was supposed to be at the right time. That's what happens. Have you ever stopped and considered this? That we're in a place and we got a burden. And doubt is filling our mind. The devil's attacking us. Our flesh seems like it's winning. And there's a place we're supposed to be. And our Lord and Savior goes to that place to meet with us, but we're not there. Maybe it's one of those nights that we wake up in the middle of the night and we just start begging God, Lord, help me to go back to sleep. But the Bible gives us some clear places where His people are supposed to be. Let me give you 5 real quick. Number one, God's people are supposed to be in the house of God. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But we know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. It's not even so much about us coming to get a blessing, but us to be a blessing to somebody else. But I wonder how many could identify with me tonight and say this, Brother Chris, I've been where I was supposed to be physically, but I wasn't there mentally. I mean, we can be where we're supposed to be, listening to what we're supposed to be listening to, but our minds are 1,000 miles away for whatever reason. We can be there, but we're not there. The Bible tells us that we're to be in the Word of God. Do you know every place where Jesus came and met with these discouraged disciples, that many times they didn't recognize Him until there was a certain thing that happened? Till He spoke to them. And then even at that, the Bible says that He started explaining to them the Scripture. We've got God's Word right here. I mean, this just isn't any old book. This is what God said. And it's alive, it's living, and it's as much applicable today as it was back then. And there's people in other countries that write little bits and pieces and hide it in their pocket, and we've got the whole thing and don't even open it up when we should. We're to be in the work of God. How many times did you had something that you were to do for the Lord and you didn't feel like it, but you went ahead and you did it, and when you were finished with it, you thanked God that you went ahead and did it because God met with you. I remember going to the prison sometimes after chemo and going in there and just trying to pull myself, and I would pull up a little egg crate in front of a prisoner's cell and open up that pie hole and start talking to them. And they'd been with the Lord all week long, and they'd start preaching to me, and they'd start helping me, and I thank God that I was where I was supposed to be at that time. Let me say this, God tells us that we need to be in our closet. There's times that He comes to meet with us, and we need to be there in prayer, and then we need to be in the will of God. I heard a testimony about a man that God had called to be a missionary, and he was a good preacher. So instead of going on the mission field, he took a church and started pastoring. And people would come to hear him preach, and he would preach the greatest sermons, but nobody got saved. And he got discouraged. And so you know what he did? He popped up and went to another church. And the same thing happened again. But you know what? He wasn't where he's supposed to be. He was out of the will of God. And when we're there, doubts will start to come. Let me give you this. I'm hurrying. Point number two, the perspective of Thomas. The Bible says in verse number 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and the print of nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I'll not believe. I mean, the other disciples were trying to encourage Thomas. Thomas, we've seen him. He came to where we were at. He moved right through the wall, right through. He was there in our presence. And good old Thomas just poured some cold water and said, you know what? I'm not going to believe it unless I see Him, unless I touch Him. And you know what the case is? That sounds so carnal. That sounds so bad. But you know what? We'll carry that same mind of thought just like Thomas. But we just won't say it. Because what happens is that we get a certain expectation in our minds and we have what we think. And unless it happens that way we see it, or unless we feel a certain way, we're apt to get discouraged. We're apt to start doubting. See, that's not the way the Bible says the Christian life is supposed to be carried out. We don't walk by feeling. We don't walk by sight. The Bible says we walk by faith. And if you're walking by feeling and if you're walking by sight, you're not going to get very far before you're just ready to throw your hands up and get discouraged. There's trouble with walking by sight and not by faith because of our expectations. We have it in our mind that Lord, this is the way you should do it, and this is the way it should come to pass, and this is about the time that it should happen. But David said this, my soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. It shouldn't be a certain thing. It shouldn't be a certain time. It shouldn't be a certain event. It should be God. We're looking for God to move in. See, the Lord has a way that He works. I used to think when I first started out that I've got to just get it just right. That I've got to go to a certain place and to a certain people, and when I go and I do that, then I'm going to be happy and I'm going to be fulfilled. But you know what God showed me? He's not calling us to a certain place, and He's not calling us to a certain people. He's continually calling us to Himself. That's what He does over and over. That is a cycle in the Christian life. It's not about that. It's about Him. And we see that this is the way God operates. Turn to Daniel chapter number 3 with me. I think we've got enough time. Daniel chapter number 3. I want to show you, most of y'all have seen this before, God's shown you this, but we see some levels of faith here in Daniel chapter number 3. This is the story where Nebuchadnezzar had that great idol built, and he had everybody to bow down, but there were 3 Hebrew boys that wouldn't do it. They weren't going to bow down. They knew God, they loved God, and they weren't going to compromise. And I want you to notice, look at verse number 14. Am I in the right? Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, and the flute, and the harp, and the suckbut, and the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Notice this. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They didn't hesitate. Verse 17, if it be so, our God we serve, He is able. I believe most of us here tonight, we're at that place right there that we know God's able. We know that He can. We've seen Him before do it, and we know that He can. But notice this. He's able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. But here's the second one. And He will deliver us out of the hand of the king. That's where it starts getting a little shaky. I wonder if I've done enough to please the Lord. I wonder if I've been good enough. I wonder if I deserve it. I wonder if God's gonna answer my prayer. I wonder if He's gonna help me and deliver me. I wonder if He's gonna do it for me. I know He does it for others, but is He gonna do it for me? And then it continues. Verse 18. I like this. But if not, it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. That's where God wants to take us. He wants to bring us to a place with such a faith that even if He doesn't answer that prayer, we're still going to follow Him. We're still going to serve Him. And we understand that He's going to take care of us no matter what. See, so many times we want God to pick us up and put us on the other side of the fiery furnace. We want God to take us and put us around on the other side of the lion's den. We want God to pick us up and lift us over the mountain and set us on the other side. But that's not how God works. And it's not for our benefit to do that. Because He wants us to go in the fire so that He'll walk with us in the fire. And we'll see that He'll bring no harm to us, that He'll protect us, and He'll be so real in those places. He wants us to be in the den, and He wants us to watch Him close the lion's mouth tight, and they bow down before us. And He wants us to see Him pick up the mountain and move it out of the way, even if we've got just a mustard seed worth of faith. Because think about this. God's the one that makes the fire. And He's the one that makes the lions. And He's the one that makes the mountains. So why couldn't our God deliver us out of those places? We can't walk by sight. And what about feelings? Sometimes I'll get up in the morning and I promise you I'll get in God's Word and I'll get a verse, I'll get a scripture, and I'll be so stirred up and I'm like, this is it. I'm gonna be victorious today. And by that afternoon, I'm so far gone and I wonder what happened. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm gonna win today. I'm gonna do good. I'm gonna get it. But see, circumstances change, and we don't always feel the same way that we did in the morning, in the afternoon. I think about Elijah. Well, I mean, what faith? He let God take care of him by the brook, and the ravens brought him sausage biscuits every morning. Amen? Or Miss Eve's cinnamon rolls. Amen? My goodness, I think they're better than man. I don't know, but I think they are. And then he went up and he called fire down from heaven. He didn't pray a big long prayer. And God sent fire down. And the people believed. And then he had a servant he sent out to go and look to see if God was bringing rain. And that servant came back and he kept sending him back, go out and look. And sure enough, that's what God did. And he mustered up the strength and he beat the chariot of Ahab all the way back. But something happened. That devil knows us better than we know ourselves. And that devil, he threw just the right combo. He took a tired preacher and a wicked woman and just put him down. And he said, you know what? I'm done. And he goes down and he leaves his servant and gets underneath that juniper tree. And God starts ministering to him and God starts helping him. And he goes into that cave and all these different things happen. And then God starts asking him questions and starts getting to the root of it. And Elijah said, I, only I. Well, we get in trouble when we start using I too much. He said, I, only I. I'm the only one, Lord, that's serving. And God said, no, you're not, buddy. There's 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Do you know what? His circumstances were 7,000 better than he thought they were. We can't go by that. And I believe that's what Thomas would tell us. But let me finish. The pursuit of Thomas. This is where it started getting good to me. Verse 24, Thomas was absent. Verse 25, Thomas was aware of what Jesus had done and how he had came. We don't know if he went to the disciples or if they went to where he was, but in verse number 26, the Bible says, let me flip back over there, and after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and here it is, and Thomas was with him. Ever so slightly, by faith, Thomas took that step back towards Jesus. He pursued the Lord. Even, I don't know if he realized that faith that he had, but he started moving back and doing his part. See, there's something about God. When others look at us and they see no faith, and when we look at ourselves and we feel no faith and see no faith, I'm glad our God can see in the deepest corners of our heart that little mustard seed of faith. And he says, there it is. They're trying. They're trusting. They're moving towards me. And even when we get to the place that we can't walk, even if we get down and start crawling, I'm glad that he comes and meets with us. And he honors that faith. He honors faith. He always has and he always will. And the way God moves in a way that we know there's no doubt in our mind that it's him. How did he move? The door was shut, closed, it was locked. And they were in there. And I wonder if Thomas was just sitting there just looking at that door. He was just looking at it, just wondering, is he ever going to come back? I've doubted him. Is he done with me? I don't know. I don't understand. I'm confused. I don't know what's going to happen. And you know what? About that time, God just moved in. He didn't come and open the door and unlock the door like they thought and just come on in. No, he moved in a way. He moved in there in a way that they could never imagine. And that's what he does in our lives. He sees that little bit of faith, and we take that as whatever it is towards him, and then we don't know when and we don't how, but he moves in such a way that there's no doubt in our mind that it's him. And I believe this, that those disciples that had been there a week earlier, or how many days earlier, he did the same thing to them. And when he moved in, they said, Thomas, that's him. That's God. That's the way he works. That's the way he moves. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've had that need in your heart and in your life, and you wondered, where's it going to come from? How's it going to come? And then he just steps in out of nowhere and moves in and does it in such a way that you know it's him. And he's done it just like that before. And you know what? He'll do it again just like that. That's just who he is. Thomas recognized him. What a testimony. He said, my Lord, my God. He knew that he was God, and he also knew that he was his God. And every place that you see Thomas, he's right where he's supposed to be. I want to tell you this. God spoke to me because I've been Thomas here the last first part of the year. You know, in Bible college, we didn't have much. And God just always seemed to just bring it in. I mean, I racked up so much debt going to ETSU, and I got saved. And I went to Bible college, and God gave me the money to pay it all straight up every semester. She was working, I was working a part-time job, and we came up with that money. God would bring it in. It'd come in the mail. Somebody'd hand us some money. And you know what? I got to the place. I'm like, I believe God. I when it comes to finances, I trust him. I know he's going to do it. But what about when it comes from all directions and it stays for a little while? And you wonder, And I want to say this, that God has a part, but we have a part too. There's some things that we need to change in our life, and we need to get some things in order. We can pray and pray and pray for somebody to be saved, but you know what? God wants us to go and say something to them. And there's a point that you reach a point that you can't go any further, but we've got a part. And when she and I did that part, God started opening the windows of heaven. Pastor knows. Miss Eve knows. Ran and called me. First part of the week. It's been a few weeks ago. And she said, "You'll never believe this." She said, "I got $800 extra on my paycheck." She said, "But that can't be right." She said, "I got to call them and make sure." So she did. And it was right. And that took care of some things. And then she called me a couple days later and she said, "We owe $160 on Jackson's medical bill and they sent us a bill and we got a zero balance. That can't be right." Little Miss Thomas down here. I'm holding her hand, Mr. Thomas. And so she called them. And they said, "You don't owe any more money. But as a matter of fact, we owe you $60. That's the way God works. That's Him right there. That's Him. We had that old Explorer that I was moaning and groaning about, the transmission went out. And you know what? Somebody gave us $1,000 for it. See, she every year she works summer school and makes in a week about $2,000 or $3,000. And we thought, "Lord, what's going to happen?" That's how we paid the taxes right there. And when it didn't happen, we started scratching our heads. But you know what? Not only did God meet all that money, but He allowed her to get rest and for us to regroup and get our strength back so that we could push further a little harder. And that job that we've moaned and groaned about popped up out of nowhere. And ran and spoke to Shayla. And she said, "I know that school. As a matter of fact, I'm friends with that counselor and the principal." And so Rhiannon got an interview out of nowhere. And she went. And it was a good interview. And even the principal called the lady that was over the counselors in Sullivan County and said, "They called me for a reference and they said you got a good interview." And you know what she and I did? That might be it, but we're too scared to say that it is. But you know what? They called her. And she's got a brand new job. She's not making a little bit less. But you know what? God help if I doubt that if He did all those things, He's not going to take care of that. Listen, there might be somebody here tonight, and you're wondering. You've been praying. You've been looking. Don't give up. He's right on time. He's never failed. And He never will. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to pray and I'm going to give this over to Pastor. But before I do, I just feel like I need to ask the question. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight. You say, "Brother Chris, I've been in and around that place of doubt and I sure need God to help me." If that's you tonight, would you let me pray for you? Would you slip up your hand and say, "Brother Chris, that's me. Pray for me." I see that hand. There's some things that have been heavy on my heart. I see that hand, brother. And that hand. I need God to move in that hand and that hand. And that hand. You know what? He's just looking for that step. Maybe we just need to get up out of our seats tonight and come and say, "Lord, please, Please help me. Sister Laura, would you come to the piano? Father, Lord, I pray for these, Lord. Father, you know the situation. Lord, I pray, God, you'd show yourself mighty. Lord, move here tonight. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Do you need to use this altar tonight? You know what God convicted me of? He'll do stuff. And I just need to stop along the way and just get down and say, thank you, Lord. Maybe you need to come tonight and just say, God, thank you. Thank you.